God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
Thank you, friends, for being with us on our Watchman on the Wall broadcast of Southwest Radio Church. This is Pastor Larry. I was quite frankly angered by the arrest of David Bedham outside a North Carolina abortion clinic. He was arrested for providing counseling services outside an abortion clinic despite a stay-at-home order amid the coronavirus pandemic, yet the clinic was open. Bedham, who made national headlines after getting dropped by HGTV for his belief that marriage is a relationship between one man and one woman, posted a video of his arrest. You can view it on your computer. Bedham did a good job telling the arresting officer, who did not seem to have any idea about the U.S. Constitution, that the officer was breaching his constitutional rights. The North Carolina governor has wrongly deemed elective abortion essential, Bedham said. If providing abortions is essential, then peacefully giving a pregnant woman counseling on alternatives to abortion is also essential, Bedham added. Bedham stated that because elected Democrats are pro-abortion, they are using their power in a one-sided way to silence pregnancy counselors. Friends, we are, as a nation, in desperate straits. The Nuremberg trials made it crystal clear that the Nazi claim that they were simply obeying orders is no justification for immoral deeds. Are the American police becoming willing accomplices in rank injustice? This really is a serious problem. James Collins is our guest. He is a pastor in Fort Scott, Kansas. He pastors the First Southern Baptist Church in Fort Scott. He is also a retired U.S. Army chaplain, having served for some 25 years. Pastor Collins, along with many Americans, is very concerned about the coronavirus pandemic, not only because of health concerns, but really from the way it is being used to take away our religious liberties. Thank you, Pastor James, for being on the show with us.
It's my honor to be with you again, Pastor Larry.
Well, James, how do you feel religious liberties are being taken away in light of COVID-19?
We know, Dr. Spartamino, without a doubt, our rights are being trampled on. I mean, we see that this pandemic has changed the way, not only the way people live, but also it's changed the way that government officials are handling a crisis. Saul Alinsky said, never let a crisis go to waste, and we see government officials right now using this crisis to push an ungodly agenda. I mean, last Friday, the governor of Kentucky said that anyone who went to church would be ticketed, and he ordered the police to go through all the church parking lots and write down the license plates numbers so that they could ticket those people. And last Sunday in Greenville, Mississippi, we're not talking about, you know, California or New York. We're talking about Greenville, Mississippi, in the Bible Belt, at a drive-in church service where people could social distance by staying in their car. They had a mayor in that town go through and order the police to issue tickets, and they fined everybody at that service $500. And then, again, just this last week, the governor of New Mexico, the governor of Kansas, several states, they all came out with specific mandates, specific executive orders that forbid churches from meeting. And the First Amendment says Congress shall make no law representing an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, but we're seeing that happen, and it's being justified as a public health issue. Ben Franklin said over 200 years ago, a person who would trade liberty for some temporary security deserves neither liberty nor security. And you know, Pastor Larry, my issue is, why are churches being classified non-essential? I actually spoke to a government official on the phone who said those words to me. She said, churches are non-essential. And why are churches non-essential and other businesses are? I mean, it's extremely arbitrary. And I don't want the government to make any business close. In fact, there's a company here in our town that manufactures windows, and they have over 400 employees crammed into a warehouse, and there's no way they can social distance. But I don't want the government to go and close that business, no more than I want them to come in and close a church down. How come churches are non-essential, but liquor stores and marijuana dispensaries and abortion clinics are considered essential? You know, I wrestled with that question, and as I thought about it, I realized the only people or the only person or that's going to be happy with churches closing are atheists and the devil. And I tell you, I don't have a friend in either of those camps.
Right,
so
very suspicious to me.
I believe
yes.
that people need Jesus Christ now more than ever, so I'm just going to continue to have church and continue to preach Jesus.
You know, you quoted Saul Alinsky and, of course, Rahm Emanuel and many others have noted that a crisis is an opportunity to do what you could not normally do without the crisis. And I think when people are afraid, they will surrender many of their liberties just to stay alive. So, you know, national and even local leaders are fighting the coronavirus. They're also taking to themselves sweeping new powers. And I think this is extremely dangerous. And, you know, the real problem is not the coronavirus, the way it's beginning to look.
Once you give those rights up, you'll never get them back. We become used to something, and it just becomes the way it is. And so once we submit to these unbiblical mandates, we'll never get our rights back again.
You're absolutely right. As a matter of fact, you know, as we look at what's happening in our country, you know, Donald Trump is not a perfect individual, but he is standing against the New World Order. And I think the deep state is furious. I remember, and maybe you remember the quote, David Rockefeller in his book Memoirs, he said this, quote, "Some even believe that we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interest of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalists and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world, if you will." And then he says, "If that's the charge, I stand guilty, and I am proud of it." Now, there are a lot of people who think the New World Order, that's just a lot of nonsense, but it's not a lot of nonsense. I mean, I think we are seeing a push against the sovereignty of the United States, against the fact that while our president is not perfect, he's certainly identified with Christians. He's pro-life. He's pro-Israel, pro-religious liberty. The New World Order hates this. So, you know, people look at Donald Trump, they say, well, he's an imperfect man. He really is, like all of us, but he sure is ringing the right bells, and there are a lot of people who don't like those bells.
Well, I believe, Dr. Spargimino, that we're living in what the Lord Jesus Christ described as the birth pangs. We're seeing the beginning. Now, the Lord could come at any moment. I'm not setting a date. He could come at any second. But imagine what would happen, Dr. Spargimino, if the Lord did come back for the church right now, if the rapture happened immediately, right now, then they could say, well, those people disappeared because of this pandemic, and they could take even more liberties, and that would set the stage for this new world order, this global dictator, the Antichrist, to rise to power. It would also set the stage for the false prophet and the religious new world order, in the sense that we've already gone to live streaming services. We've already closed the churches. It would be very easy for someone, because it's a global issue, a global health crisis, a global problem, for them to step in with those kind of again, unbiblical regulations.
Right. Well, Pastor James, how should a Christian respond to the COVID-19 pandemic?
Well, I believe as Christians, we have to be wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. And, you know, we shouldn't be surprised when lost people act like lost people. We shouldn't be shocked that a lost and dying world considers churches non-essential. But what bothers me more than the pastors and Christians being arrested and cited are other pastors and other Christians that are siding against those Christians that are standing in faith. I had a pastor call me and criticize me for not closing my church, and he said, "Don't you know 1 in 4 people are going to die from this?" And I said, "Where did you get that statistic?" And he said, "From Facebook." And I said, "Are you really using social media as a source for a life-changing decision?" And I don't know about you, if you've looked at social media lately, Pastor Larry, but there are Christians who are out there saying Romans 13 says we must obey. And that's a terrible use of an awesome passage of Scripture. They never say that. They never quote Romans 13 about illegal Chinese underground churches or secret churches in Islamic countries that are going against those regimes. But now we have to submit to unbiblical mandates. I want to remind your listening audience that it was Romans 13 was a passage that Hitler used to manipulate Germany into slaughtering 6 million Jews.
Well, Pastor James, you're ringing a bell that is close to my heart, because I believe that the real problem is not the bad people out there. It's the so-called Christians who, they bear the name Christian, they might carry a Bible, but they hate Donald Trump because of what he stands for. And I don't, you know, like I said before, I don't think that he's a moral paragon of virtue, and I think he'd be the first one to admit that. But when he starts defending life, unborn life, when he starts defending religious liberty, when he starts defending the integrity and the historicity of the Jewish state, he's defending things that are close to my heart. And frankly, I cannot understand how anybody could identify as a Democrat when the Democratic Party at the DNC this last August the 24th came out and backed secularism, atheism, and socialism. How is that possible? I don't know how it's possible. Your loyalties will show where your heart is. And these professing Christians, and I call them professing Christians, not Christians, but professing Christians, they've got the wrong loyalties. And that says something to me. So the fact that this pastor called up and said that to you, there are probably thousands and thousands and thousands of other pastors in America who should be ashamed of themselves. They're not standing for truth and for righteousness. They are just wimps, and they, you know, when the rapture comes, we're going, guess what? They're going to be here. They're going to find out what the New World Order is all about.
Amen. Amen. It is very frustrating to me, especially as a person who served this country in the United States Army for over 25 years, wearing the uniform of this country, to see how our country has just surrendered, especially our churches and especially those pastors that have just gone along to get along. But, you know, I do want to say this, that if you're a true believer in Jesus Christ, for perhaps the first time in the history of our nation, the reality of death is on everybody's mind. And this hysteria that's surrounding this coronavirus is causing people in America to consider their own mortality. And as Christians, we have the answer to the fear that surrounds death. Right now, I believe we have an opportunity to have conversations with non-believers about death and what happens when you die, and we have a tremendous opportunity to share the truth of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen to that. Well, Pastor James, how has your church responded to the COVID-19 pandemic?
Dr. Spurgeon, I told one of my deacons that we could have church if we engaged in social distancing, and he shouted, glory, hallelujah, I don't have to sit by my wife. But that wasn't what I was talking about. Seriously, though, when this started, we called all over the elderly and the people with pre-existing medical conditions, and we told them to stay home. We stopped shaking hands in the church. We placed hand sanitizer all around the church. We have a very large sanctuary, and so since a lot of the elderly were staying home, we had room to spread out around that sanctuary and sit 6 foot apart, had families sitting in sections 6 foot apart. And we've always live-streamed our service or put it on YouTube, so if people were concerned, they could just stay at home. But now, since the government has limited us to no more than 10 people, we've been having drive-in church service, and it's been working well. People come into our church parking lot, they stay in their car. We have a big stage. Our musicians lead us in worship, and then I preach, and the service is broadcast through a small FM transmitter, and the congregation can hear it through their car radio.
Well, that's so well done, and the intentions, you're right, the elderly, and in fact, what I think, the measures that we take need to be more targeted specifically against. There are some people who are very vulnerable, no question about it. But as far as closing down the whole country, I mean, if you look, and I'm sure you have, and we've spoken about this before, there have been, you know, every year the influenza takes thousands and thousands of people. Every year there's this and there's that, and no one shuts down the country. But now, with the coronavirus, in fact, it's one of the minor pandemics, and I say that just in comparison with all of the other issues that we've had, it's not really that serious, but somehow it's being used as a big club against us. But Pastor James, where do you think God is in the midst of this pandemic?
We know that's a great question. I saw a New York Times headline that asked that same question. Where is God in the midst of this pandemic? Well, you know, Dr. Spargimino, God's where he's always been. God is still on his throne. And Jesus said that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. God right now is in the heart of each and every believer. And he brings us comfort with the knowledge that our faith in Jesus Christ has saved us. And God is still keeping his promises. He's not left us. He's not forsaken us. And he's going to bring us comfort and healing and a peace that passes all understanding. But I think the lesson that we should learn from this COVID-19 hysteria is that life is temporary. We're not promised tomorrow. And if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you don't know if today, if you die, if you'll spend eternity, where you're going to spend eternity. And that's the question that I want to ask. If you're not a believer, do you want a peace that passes all understanding? Do you want eternal life? Let me tell you where God is. God is here, and God is reaching out to you. He wants to save you, and he's telling you today to repent of your sins and trust Jesus Christ, because tomorrow may be too late. That's where God is. God is waiting for the lost right now. That's where God is, and he's living in the hearts of unbelievers.
Amen. Well, Pastor Collins, we certainly want to thank you for these expressions of your concerns and also the invitation. I know you have an excellent book. We're going to be offering that. Don't Throw the Believer Out with the Baptistry Water. Tremendous insights into a lot of things. Matthew, please come to the mic and tell our listeners about our special offer.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is the very likable and well-received book titled Don't Throw the Believer Out with the Baptistry Water. It has a funny title, but is full of great Bible teaching. You can have a copy for a gift of $15 if you live in the United States and $35 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our toll-free number 1-800-652-1144. You can also order by writing to us at Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And of course, you can order anytime online on our website at swrc.com. We also have James Collins' best-selling book, The Nativity. You may think it's a Christmas book, but this book can change your life, and you can have a copy for a gift of $15. Better yet, get both books, Don't Throw the Believer Out with the Baptistry Water, and The Nativity, for a gift of $20. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. The address to write is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the website is swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
During the coronavirus pandemic, many have been facing their mortality. The thought that, quote, I could die a horrible death from COVID-19 is a sobering thought. Actually, death is an ever-present reality. No one can escape it. People drown in a glass of water, choke to death on a cookie, get hit on their heads by a criminal, die in a wreck, fall down the stairs, and just die from natural causes. Sure, the coronavirus presents some new ways of dying, but let's face it, we must always be ready to meet our Maker, and we should be ready to help other people meet their Maker as well.
Those who have closely studied the Bible to discern God's mind on outreach and methods to be used have found three basic strategies for evangelism and outreach. One method is an attraction strategy, summarized by those words, y'all come. These can involve a special program or event designed to reach out to non-Christians and introduce them to Jesus Christ. This may involve evangelistic services, using music and loudspeakers that connect with non-Christians and other non-threatening, non-church activities. Some people frown on such methods. However, they do have their place. Christians need to reach people with the gospel.
Then there are engagement strategies that use an event or program designed to extend the church's ministry beyond the walls of the church. This can be summarized with the words, we go. A church-based softball league that invites non-Christians to join the team is an example of an engagement strategy. Games take place outside of the church and may take the team to several other locations during the year.
Attraction and engagement strategies all have their place. However, in a postmodern world, there is another strategy that follows the example of Jesus, and that has been called an infiltration strategy. It can be summarized with the words, I go. Jesus did not have a church building, and he didn't start anything like a church-sponsored softball league. The idea of I go is very important. That's exactly what he did. He certainly was a cross-cultural missionary. He stepped out of heaven and came to dwell on this planet of sin and death.
It is important, however, that we distinguish two very important words. One word is dispersed, the other is deployed. There are many Christians who are dispersed. They're scattered, but they're certainly not deployed, i.e., sent with a specific mission or objective. A military unit is deployed with a specific objective. They're not dispersed, wandering around looking for some interesting things to do.
It's going to take a lot of repair work to recover from the coronavirus pandemic. It won't be easy. There is going to be a lot of confusion, a lot of frustration, and a lot of anger. You can be assured that it will be a political hot potato, with each party finding things that will boost their image and their platform. We must always remember that obedient Christians are deployed. We have a function and a purpose. It is not about us. It is all about Jesus.
Well, yes, as you study church history, you will see that over the last 2,000 years, there have been plagues and pandemics, wars, crises of various sorts, such as famines, earthquakes, and floods. We all need to stand tall, be filled with the Spirit, honor God. Those who have made self-preservation their first and foremost goal have not adequately represented Jesus Christ. Remember, it's not about you. Marvin, a region of Iceland is erupting for the first time in 800 years, raising concerns of the disruption in air travel for centuries to come. The Guardian of London reported that since January 21st, the Reykjanes Peninsula, southwest of Iceland's capital Reykjavik, has experienced more than 8,000 earthquakes. About 10 centimeters of land has risen due to magma intrusions underground.
It seems that after being relatively inactive for many centuries, this region is waking up, according to Lancaster University volcanologist Dave McGarvey. They are fed by five volcanic systems, the Guardian said, which seem to come to life in a coordinated way roughly every 1,000 years. The 2010 eruptions of Iceland's major volcano caused the largest air traffic shutdown since World War II.
Meanwhile, Indonesia's Krakatoa volcano erupted over the Easter weekend, sending ash almost 10 miles into the sky. The previous eruption of Krakatoa in 2018 triggered a tsunami that killed more than 400 people. In 1883, an eruption killed an estimated 36,000 people.
The Volcano Discovery website counts more than two dozen places around the world that have reported significant volcanic activity.
Well, Marvin, Kushchevskaya Skopka, the highest peak on the Kamchatka Peninsula in Russia, erupted recently with a volcanic ash plume 4 miles high. Imagine that. At another peak on the Kamchatka Peninsula, a huge smoke plume reached 7 miles into the sky. There is also activity nearby, at Aso, at Sakarajima in Japan's Kyushu region. In Indonesia, along with Krakatoa, volcanic activity was reported at Ibu, Merapi, and Semeru. On the island of Sumatra, Mount Karasini erupted. In Mexico, Guatemala, and across South America, including Chile and Peru, volcanoes are awakening, leading thousands to flee their homes.
Is the earth preparing itself for the Great Tribulation? We need to remember that the locust plague is continuing to decimate Africa, parts of the Middle East, and along the Arabian Sea. The coronavirus has spread all over the planet. In Luke 21, Jesus warned, "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken."
Reports are coming in from different parts of the world that many are turning to Christ. Many others are mocking, as we're told in 2 Peter chapter 3. In America, people are looking for Bibles. The Bible is the Word of God, but it is not enough to carry it and even to read it. Do we believe it? Are we allowing it to grip our hearts and to lead us to repentance and faith? The time is short. The Bible tells us that many will be caught in unbelief. Their doom is certain. Multitudes will be swept away, even as in the flood of Noah. The big question of the day, is this woman sane or is she insane? I'm speaking about Democratic Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. She had prohibited big box retailers from in-person sale of seeds because, according to her, food is non-essential.
Then, in late March, Governor Whitmer limited access of doctors from prescribing the life-saving drugs hydroxychloroquine and Z-Pax to save senior citizens in the state from the coronavirus. Hydroxychloroquine and Z-Pax have been widely used the world over to treat the coronavirus. Most recently, Governor Whitmer banned packaged seeds, tiling, carpet, flooring, and the United States flags.
United States flags? Marvin, what's wrong with the United States flag?
Well, the way I understand it, Pastor Larry, if you are unhappy with America and you're unhappy with an American president who wants to make America great again, I guess the United States flag is kind of a symbol of oppression.
Well, it's amazing, Marvin, how many people don't like the U.S. flag. Many of those same people say that if Donald Trump gets elected president, they're going to leave. Guess what? They're still here, complaining about America, the U.S. flag, and President Trump. I hope they would leave. Bet they won't. Too comfortable in America.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is the very likable and well-received book titled Don't Throw the Believer Out with the Baptistry Water. It has a funny title, but is full of great Bible teaching. You can have a copy for a gift of $15 if you live in the United States and $35 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our toll-free number 1-800-652-1144. You can also order by writing to us at Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And of course, you can order anytime, online, on our website at swrc.com. We also have James Collins' best-selling book, The Nativity. You may think it's a Christmas book, but this book can change your life. And you can have a copy for a gift of $15. Better yet, get both books, Don't Throw the Believer Out with the Baptistry Water, and The Nativity, for a gift of $20. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. And the website is swrc.com. Thank you for being with us today. Join us again on Monday as we begin a new series here on the Watchman on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Ministries.